Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It is our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. At ease. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout NFL executive. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are rocking the house. And I believe Lucius is coordinating your video as well. Okay? Here at 75 and 50. He'll go flawless no matter how many broadcast responsibilities you add to his plate, including the G-Bag of the Day, which is coming up now in 30 minutes. Okay, the Big Ten and SEC are eyeing a scheduled partnership. That's pretty cool.
You know, get these
preseason matchups going, probably.
Yeah, we've seen this happen initially. We had Alabama traveled to Madison.
Here we go
for that game.
Wisconsin, yep.
And then there was one. There was one other before that. What did we see? We saw Texas and Michigan play.
Right.
So yeah, there we go.
And the Giants hired. I guess this must be Buster Posey to be their new president of baseball operations. So those are a couple of the headlines that are kind of percolating out here, breaking into the news cycle. Of course, we got 5 hours to cover all these, including a proper round tripper coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll go around the bases. But updates on Tank and Micah from Frisco. Both are in boots and using scooters, those little wheelie carts, to get around the locker room. So no doubt the medical staff has asked them to, you know, take as much pressure off of those joints as possible. Tank's multi-week and Micah's week-to-week is the way I understand it, Brian.
Yeah, let me try and throw you a timeline here. You're probably looking at Micah after the bye.
Ooh.
And then you're going to look in for Tank. They're just going to take the next 2 weeks, and they probably won't know. The Archer's reporting it's a Liz Frank injury, which is in the foot. And I asked,
that sucks.
And second time, too.
I thought it was going to be a 4-game thing, and the people over there said, we'll see how it goes, but 4 weeks is way optimistic. So I would guess this is probably 6 weeks for this guy. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, Liz Frank, that can be season ending, can't it?
I don't know the severity. I mean, like I said, I knew when I was watching the film, actually when I first saw it happen, I'm thinking he sprained his foot. I was thinking mid-foot sprain, the way his foot hit the ground. And then they start taping the bottom of his foot, and I said, oh, man, this is far more severe than that. So
had your scouting glasses on, huh?
Well, I'd seen it with him before.
Yeah, it's the second time he's had this
happen. He's had a problem with his foot, like he's rushing, and his foot, it almost like just jams into the ground.
I mean, like his toes jam into the ground first?
Yeah, just everything goes into the ground, and you could tell.
The leg still tries to move while the foot's stationary.
It's crazy, yeah. So yeah, it's not good, but Micah is probably looking at after the bye, so that'd be a couple of games, and then you know the bye, and then you know Kansas City, and then you kind of navigate it. I've been trying to get with my gang of seven. I've got a list of three guys.
Kansas City.
What's that?
I'm sorry. You said Kansas City.
Kansas City?
I wasn't sure if you meant San Francisco, perhaps. I don't know. I think you said Kansas City.
Francisco is when he's playing, right?
Okay, San Francisco.
After the bye, yeah.
After the bye, yeah. San Francisco.
Because it's Steelers, then Lions, and then bye.
Those are tough games.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I said that.
Well, this is tough for a run defense that's already struggling to go without DeMarcus Lawrence. The only good news here is you're going up against a fairly pathetic offense in the Steelers, but they did score 24 points in defeat to the Colts. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting matchup. We'll have more analysis of that throughout the week. Of course, every Wednesday in Krusty's Corner, he takes a look at the defense for you, then the offense on Thursday. So Brian's Krusty's Corner is a must tune in. Most days at 3:40 Although today at 3:40, Dave Raymond's going to join us to detail his perspective on the Rangers' final week of the season, and we've moved the corner over there to 4:40. Double Monday Night Football tonight. Dolphins host the Titans. I don't know if that one is that interesting other than for the fans of those two teams as you're tracking progress for guys and rooting on your dudes or whatever. But the 2-1 Lions hosting the perfect 3-0 Seahawks is definitely tune-inable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's awesome. Absolutely.
I remember they played last year, beginning of the season, in Detroit. Seattle went in there and won that football game. So this is, this could be an early preview of maybe two division winners, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. How good are those Lions? Of course, you got them in a couple of weeks. And are the Seahawks for real out there in the West? Salute to everybody who joined us for Flagtober's Tour de DFW on Saturday. Thanks to you guys for doing the early stop so I could take care of my stuff. The next stop is Southern Leisure Spas and Patio on Friday in Flower Mound. We'll be out there 2-7. I don't know how many flags we're going to have after Friday's show, so please do come and get them. The iconic brand of Whataburger, co-branded with the G-Bag Nation there, in a one-off flag that you can pick up for as long as they last.
Yeah, man, that was awesome getting out too. I was in Denton, so it was nice to be back.
I was very close to saying after the Carrollton stop, which was awesome to see everybody that came out, to just, I'm just going to drive over to Denton.
Yeah, yeah, I don't blame you. You could have hit Fry Street with me and my daughter.
I wanted to. Maybe I should have just brought the baby. She got sick, though. I got the baby sick, so...
Ooh.
I couldn't really pull that one off.
Ooh, that's tough.
I felt like a jerk, man. It's the sad. First time she's been sick.
Anytime you see a kid sick, it kind of hurts you. But if you did it on top of that, I can't imagine that kind of dad.
Yeah, my fault. Chuck, my fault.
What are you thinking?
It's been awful.
The text continues their naming of famous sports fingers from the crosstalk with KMC. The Namath finger out of the 214. That's iconic as he's running off into the tunnel with the finger up in the air.
Oh, number one up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I think, you know, Jordan, when he was counting off the championships, I don't know if, you know, he counted to five or four, or whatever that was, when he's doing, and then Kobe did one like that.
How about
as well.
Babe Ruth pointing to center field against the Cubs?
Oh, did he point with his bat?
Was it bad as finger?
I don't know. It's a legend. I don't think there's actual
video.
No, it's a finger.
It's
a finger. He's holding bat in left hand, and then right finger is pointed out.
Oh, jeez, okay. I got that right.
So there is a picture of that?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a picture of that.
Dawson does not trust me at all.
I mean, unless that's like a fake picture.
Might be a drawing.
Well, they all seem to be pointing.
Did you just get ball sacked again?
I'd like to think they're
all finger points.
Baby
they're all
finger points.
I should have
trusted him. I mean, his memory on what happened 8 years ago is a little faulty, but if you go back 80 years, man, this crusty is dialed.
I could dial it up every once in a while, but yeah, I thought it was a finger point.
Yeah, it was. The black and gold B out there, the 214, saw him at was that Fort Worth, maybe Cleburne, Whataburger? Maybe Grand Prairie or Mansfield. I don't know. But he says the finger that got to Freddie in the iconic movie Freddie Got Fingered. Fun fact, there was never actually a fingering. He made that up to get back at his dad, who was mad at him for being a 28-year-old without a good job. You know? So he was like, You want to play like that, Dad? Well, guess what? I'm going to accuse you of that very heinous act.
Freddie was a bit of a ball sacker himself.
Yes,
as it turns out.
He was. Well, Freddie was the brother.
Excuse me. Okay.
The main character, Tom Green, was Gord.
Man, I found a list of the top 10 gnarliest sports fingers, and some of these pictures are grotesque.
Wow.
My gosh.
The manglings and helmets and stuff.
Yeah, quite a lot of basketball players on here as well.
Ooh, caught in a rim.
Like Sean Marion's, I didn't realize his pinky is the opposite direction.
Not ball the Matrix.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Is that why his shot was so funky?
That's why they named it Matrix, actually. He was doing the Neo.
Yeah.
Dropping and going to the side.
That thing is gross.
Well, let's see. Is Mutombo, is he considered to have a gnarly one? Right.
You know, this is like injured. They're all
most banged up fingers.
Disfigured. Yeah.
Okay, most impactful thing you guys saw this NFL weekend. What stuck in your brain like, ooh, there's something relevant for the Cowboys, or wow, that was
what losers
amazing.
The Browns are when they get down in the red zone and I need him not to cost me a bet payoff.
Yeah, you guys are in a world of pain right now with these. Should have just jumped on board with the Cowboys.
That's, in a world of bleep.
That's probably the biggest takeaway for sure. I mean, it's just how, once again, we're reminded.
It's crazy how these games are coming off, though. It really, really is. I mean, that...
Just like, stupid.
Just yeah.
Just stupid.
Just you think you have an idea and you really, really don't.
I mean, Jets Broncos might have been the ugliest game of the entire season so far.
That's what was so frustrating for me was I was having to keep tabs on one of the single worst football games that was ever played.
They nearly set the record for like least combined points at halftime. It was just and least combined yards, maybe it was.
Yeah, well, it had to be because I mean, Bo Nix had -7 passing yards in the first half.
What he had like seven completions for -7.
Yeah, he was like
for 15.
Yeah, that's what it was.
For -7. Yeah. Gosh,
there were 5 brutal stats on Bo Nix. I mean, it was just disgusting what he put out there. He had a 48% completion percentage. That's the worst in a game this year.
So we got a triple payoff coming Friday
again?
Yeah,
we do.
That's great.
Do.
Yeah, again. Triple, a quadruple, then a triple.
My eyebrows are growing back, though. I can feel them.
I can see them good. 5 o'clock shadow kind of. Handsome.
You know what? I'd like to go on record here on a Monday. And give Zach Wolchuk some credit for the Commanders.
Oh, thank you.
Commanders.
Pop up here.
Commanders. And that's a Commander team that's playing a schedule that they can completely navigate.
They've got a favorable schedule.
Yeah, they can navigate that thing.
They look for real, and I think you'd have to say that's the favorite in the division by a significant margin.
For the first month of the season,
I would say so. I mean, today, Commanders play Cowboys. I don't care where that game is. I'm picking the Commanders. And if they're playing the Eagles, same thing.
I'll tell you what, the Eagles were not.
But their defense is still not good.
No.
Their defense is still going to be a big problem for them, ultimately. But winning this division seems very, very.
They never punt.
They don't punt. Yeah.
No, I mean, they had 16 straight scoring drives. It was unbelievable.
I'll tell you another thing is the Eagles can't play in heat. That thing was 101 yesterday on the field.
Yeah.
And I know they're missing all their dudes. I mean, quite a few of their dudes, but everybody's missing dudes.
I think I have this stat right, but it was like Jalen Hurts had 8 turnovers the year they went to the Super Bowl, the entire season. Since then, we're talking a year and 4 games. He's got 23.
He had more he has more fumbles than touchdowns. Not just the picks.
He's been a turnover machine.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a turnover in every game, 9 straight games with a turnover, 3 turnovers in the red zone this season, 27 turnovers since the start of last season. He's the most turnover prone quarterback in the sport since the start of last season.
Since Daniel Jones showed up.
You could really see this coming with Philadelphia, but with Daniels in Washington, this looks like much more than a young guy who can run that keeps the defense off balance. This is the real deal.
He can throw it.
And he's poised. You look around, and to me, there was a time in the NFL where you waited for quarterbacks to develop. But with all the 7-on-7 and the quarterback gurus that happen, if you show up and are peeing down your leg even 4 weeks in, we're seeing the truth about Caleb Williams and we're seeing the truth about Daniels right now. There's no doubt. This guy is the reason. There are some situations where you step into an offense that is so blessed and you got it on easy mode and you can fool people, I believe like the Eagles did. I tried to truth it. I told you the whole way through, Dak's better. Ran into a couple of people there on the tour at ADFW, said, there's the Dak hater. I'm like, no, I'm not a Dak hater, an objective, right?
Did they really call you a Dak hater to your face?
Yeah, one guy did.
All right, I appreciate that guy. Way to step up.
And I was like, well, I'm not a Dak hater.
You're not?
I told you a long time. Oh. I told you.
But you didn't say, I know you are, but what am I?
I'm doing objective journalism on this guy. I told you the whole time he's better than Jalen Hurts. He was. Told you the whole time he's better than Carson Wentz. I say the only thing that gets people caught up is when I say you're going to need a good running game if you want to win the Super Bowl with Dak. Dak is not good enough to carry a flawed defense and flawed running game. And Dak fans are so triggered. They're like, oh, you're a hater. I'm just pointing out the truth. I don't think anybody can.
Right.
The Cowboys do.
Yeah. You saying that is the indictment on the franchise. It's the indictment on the organization that they can't give him anything. Pat Mahomes has an awesome defense. Pat Mahomes at times has unbelievable skill positions whatever. Now, Mahomes is on a different planet than everybody, but still, just to give you that.
I'm glad you brought that up because this was one thing that I was sitting there watching the end of that Chiefs-Chargers game. Is it possible that the Chiefs have the two most clutch players on both sides of the football with Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. He comes up with big ones
like
on fourth
quarter
drives.
Yeah. Chris Jones is a closer. Yes. That dude steps up and is just making game-winning plays all the damn time for them. And then Patrick Mahomes and that offense can look like trash, but he needs a play. He needs to scramble for a first down on 3rd and 8. Boom. Mahomes will find a way to get it done.
No doubt. We have Rangers concluding the season with 3 straight wins.
Yes.
The proper round tripper is coming up at 6. At 4 o'clock, Texas Rangers keep them. Or take them to a no-kill shelter.
How about that?
Yeah, I like
keep them or take them to a no-kill shelter.
I like what you're doing there, man.
The wussification of America, if you ask me.
We will not be playing the dog sound. You know, all the people who emailed our boss, you win. Congratulations. You're so offended by the made-up audio of a rabid dog being having to be put down that we will no longer be playing it.
Thanks, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah.
And I hope you don't watch any movies where humans or animals are hurt or TV shows. Okay, you've drawn a line in the sand. Okay.
And you're missing out. Okay.
And you've made it clear you're too sensitive for that kind
of
content.
Yourself over there.
Okay. No secretariat.
Pete is coming after you.
They got to put the horse down. Okay. None of that.
No sea biscuit. No. Sorry.
No dramatic reenactments of, you know, tragic losses of life. And we'll do our part. You do yours.
Yeah. Scene from I Am Legend haunts me to this day.
Dallas Mavericks Media Day. Jason Kidd talking championship. I'm not sure if they can match up with Boston just yet, guys. I would like to believe, but as long as Drew Holiday is over there and this Boston team, they don't even need Porzingis. You know, we saw that in the final.
Yeah.
Right.
But Luka walked in looking fit, or, fit to his standards for sure. Luka's good to go.
So. What do you think he was? Does this feel like just not eating as much, or does this feel like a dedication in the weight room?
I think Ozempic has a lot to do with it.
I need to take a look at these.
Yeah, I think this is good. This is good diet and cardio. Look, this is not a 3 hours in the gym getting shredded, trying to get below 4% body fat.
Okay, yeah. I'm saying so. This could be just a Hail Mary to look good in the media day pictures. This could have been a crash course 10-day. Hey, let's gear up for media day. We'll get a fresh cut. We'll get that jawline going, and then we'll get back to business.
Less beer and pizza.
Back to beignets.
Diet.
I could see that. Yeah, absolutely. And I support that if that's the way Luke is going. You know, and we'll see. I think he's seen now. I can't cruise and be distracted and win an MVP. If I'm going to win this MVP, I assume it's on his bucket list. You know, you're going to have to get out there and crush and make a good impression the entire way. Okay, NFL True or Fart coming up next, and then the G-Bag of the Day, and we're back with you here on 105 Through the Fan.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. The Mets now lead the Braves 4-3 in the top of the eighth inning. G-Bag of the Day coming up in 8 minutes. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. Let's do some NFL True or Fart with overreactions from NFL Week 4. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or Fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, we start in the NFC East. And Brian Broaddus, thank you for giving me some credit for this. I did not necessarily want to be right about it, but at least through 4 games. It's not looking like a bad prediction.
Mm-hmm.
True or fart, the Commanders are indeed going to win the NFC East.
I'm going to say it's fart. I think that things are going pretty well for them right now. The quarterback's playing extremely well. Their defense is still a little bit suspect, I believe. And I think some people, now their schedule is great for them, and that will help. So, I think it's going to be a race though at the end. I don't trust Philadelphia, but we'll see what Dallas is able to do in this thing. So I'm gonna say it's fart on that.
Fart for Brian. Gavin Dawson.
That is the truth, Wolchuk. As Brian says, the schedule is very soft and it's very doable. I mean, they even get a chance to go beat up on New Orleans December 15th, who's super mid, apparently.
You lose your center, okay? I'm going to hold on to that. They lost their center, all right? Different team now. Different team.
Oh, man, that game was incredible yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Saints and Falcons.
Shout out to Young Lake.
Goodness, man. Yeah, well, Chuck, I am going to go ahead and I'm gonna fart on that as well. I am just going to take the field that is Cowboys and Eagles. I do think defenses will start to catch up to some extent to what it is the rookie quarterback and Cliff Kingsbury are doing. Their defense is bad. Now, if they do win it, I mean, this might be a division that you can win at 8 or 9 wins based on the way the Cowboys and the Eagles have looked to this point. I will still take the, you know, the Eagles right now. You mentioned, Broadus, the amount of injuries they're dealing with right now. It would be tough. Bobby mentioned it this morning. Like, put it into context. You don't have CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cooks in a game. Let's just start there with A.J. Brown and with Devontae Smith out. You expecting the Cowboys to win that one?
And
probably not. And Lane Johnson, right?
And Lane Johnson,
one of your best offensive linemen out of that game. You're probably losing on the road. So I still think the Eagles or the Cowboys figure out a way. But so I'll fart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going true on that one. It's because I don't believe in the Cowboys or the Eagles right now.
Well, you have to go true because
you predicted
that.
You did.
I did. You predicted it.
All right, let's go to you, Mr. Eric Chiafalo.
Oh.
This is the last season Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback in Philly.
I absolutely think it's on the table because Sirianni's for sure gone. I would need to look at the contract and see what type of outs they have, but we know that Howie and these guys are quick to move on. They're not really – if they got to eat a bunch of dead cap for whatever reason, they're down to do it. So I need to look at the contract specifics, but without that, Walchuk, I think it's absolutely on the table. Everything's on the table in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jalen Hurts, if they could find a way to trade him at the deadline, I wouldn't even rule it out just because of how crazy things and how hot it gets over there.
Okay, so it says the potential out isn't until after the 2027 season. I'm looking at SpoTrack. Is this an accurate source of contract information?
I think generally, over the cap is usually better, but yeah, SpoTrack can. I think they're usually good when it comes to the outs on the contract.
They have dead cap going into next year at $107 million, then 52, then 20.
Goodness gracious.
Okay, they have pushed just an enormous amount of it back. And the base salaries are only like $1.5 million. So, yes, but I think Chiefs onto something. You know, if they're sitting there in a draft spot and the quarterback is on the board that they could take, you know, maybe one makes it until the middle of the first round or the 20s that they like, I could see them doing that for sure because of what they did with Hurts and Carson Wentz.
Mm.
But I would bet on not.
I'm saying fart.
You're saying fart on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd probably lean fart probably because of everything you just said, Gavin. Like, that contract might be too tough to get on, and I think that they just probably fire Sirianni and then give Hurts one more year.
Bring in a different guy.
Yep. That could be totally different in a couple of years. All right.
That looks glorious, actually, for the Cowboys, though.
It does.
Trying to compete like that is going to be tough.
All right, well, speaking about Sirianni and kind of how weird this debacle's going, Gavin, Doug Peterson, not Nick Sirianni, is going to be the first coach fired as the Jags have now fallen to 0-4.
Yeah, and who was it over the weekend? Houston that got him?
Houston got him.
You know, divisional, that one hurts even more. I would have to say yes. You know, what happens is when you're building expectations, it sets up for you to make a tremendous fall as a head coach. And, you know, it's one of the tough things about stepping in there and having success is they want it to be a little bit better, a little bit better. And then if it's not, the morale just gets sucked right out of the entire building. And the frustrations, the finger pointing soars. And you know that he's not the best guy at working the halls and politicking, because if he was, he wouldn't have won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia and been fired 24 months later.
That's a good point. I know this one's tough for you, Brian.
Oh, no, it's not tough. He's been doing terrible. You know, I mean, I was watching his press conference from yesterday. He's not calling plays anymore.
No, they asked him about it, like, do you think you should take over play calling? He's like, well, why would I do that? I thought he called the game
press
well.
Press Taylor is his OC there.
And he gave it up last year when they were struggling.
And they asked him, and he said, it's all on the table now. So
he said, as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays.
Yeah,
right?
He wanted to throw his quarterback under the bus, and he didn't do it.
It was also awkward because the reporter followed up on the table.
Well, I mean, he didn't specifically
he
didn't say the names.
But after the all on the table, the reporter goes like, well, including your job status.
Yeah,
and he says, well, that's a weird question.
Yeah,
and he looked like he was about to cry. He was about to go full LaFleur there.
Oh no!
Yeah,
it's an uncomfortable question, Doug.
It was very awkward.
Great question, though.
It was very, very awkward. All right, last one. Back to you, Eric. Sam Darnold is actually going to end up being the league MVP.
I still just can't. I can't go that far with it. I do think that they're. I mean, he's playing fantastic football right now. But I will take the field in terms of sustaining a full season of ripping that thing around like a beast. I don't think that'll be him. Fart.
Yeah, take the field. You know, too many good players out there, and Darnold has a long history of being pretty average. So my bet would be this is one of the best months of his career.
Yeah.
And now he's going to regress to something better than what we saw with the Jets, or if he played with the 49ers last year when Purdy was hurt. But no, I'm still going to believe that overall he's significantly worse than this incredible run that he's on.
Fart. Yeah, I'll fart on that as well.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
NFL True or Fart, most Mondays here at 220. Then we get into the G-Bag of the Day, into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Here, lizard.
What's up, dude?
What's up, Pimp? All right, well, we last left off. It was a choice clip that won.
Yep.
This would be day three for it if it wins. Today, we have an uncle that crashed out during the funeral. I think they're laying down his beloved mother. He's tired of all the gossiping and everything going on. I guess the group chat, somebody showed him a group chat. Man, look what they said about your uncle. Damn.
Ooh, ouchie.
They said you didn't chip in on the funeral.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it could be.
Only talk bad about people in person.
Yeah. Hey, this is your church clip, so I prayed you got a blessing and everything yesterday. I do. Shout out to my pastor, Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. I see them out there at the fair on Saturday.
Nice. Mm.
Send you out there, Pastor.
Always fun to run into somebody you know out there.
Yeah, send you out there, Pastor. All right. Crashed out.
You know that. Y'all know me. You ain't like you ain't never met me before. You know that. You know I'm mad as hell right now.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
You're mad. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hope you don't get me later on for saying that, Lord.
I'm going to get you.
Because I want y'all to know, I'm going to take these glasses off so you can see my eyes and know I'm not playing.
Sounds like I'm a Mike Epps bit.
I talk to my mom daily.
Yeah.
And listen to me clear.
Uh-huh.
I heard everything everybody said about me for not rushing down here. Listen to me, man. Right, you got a problem with me? Meet me in the parking lot right now. I ain't playing, but listen, I'm not that mad like that. I'm just letting you know you can't see me in the parking lot. All my brothers is here. I got Relly's. I got VJ up there. I got Drake, everybody. I got my boy Crack, Uncle P's here. I tell them to stay in the house. Meet me in the parking lot if you got a problem with me, man. Whoever it is. Hold on, Spoon, hold on. I'm not mad like that. I'm just saying. Hold on, Spoon. I've been waiting to say this, man.
Hold on, Spoon. Let that man cook.
Waiting to say this.
Yeah, hold on.
I've been waiting.
I've been holding on to this part right here.
Get this off my chest.
All right, let me get the vibes. On a Monday. Yeah. Little white zombie coming at you. What else we got here? I'm going to just go down to order. Texas Rangers insider Jared Sandler had himself an injury update. Shout out to Tolo Miguel Ruiz. Tolo went and caught this one for me.
We check in with Jared Sandler.
Guys, our final Bailey and Galleon injury update of the season. It's more of a general idea of health. Paul Goldschmidt wants to keep playing. He feels like he's healthy enough to do so, but the Cardinals are expected to part ways with Goldschmidt, which will make him a free agent this offseason.
All right, bouncing ball here off Lowe's bat.
All right.
Thank you, Jared.
Yeah. Oh, no. He had to have been so nervous in that
Holy
moment.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
There's no delay on the Rangers game, is there?
No, sir. It's butt naked.
It's going out to affiliates. Yeah. That's kind of on them.
He handled that well, though. Acted like he'd been there.
I don't know. That's mighty unprofessional of Jared. That's a pattern of behavior now at this point. I might call the FCC on him. Got
to
get
do
your
so, but the Cardinals are expected to part ways with Goldschmidt, which would make him a free agent.
Loose cannon. You never know what he's going to say.
Dude, if you could, if we had the science and you could, like, get your gold to turn in, or your S to turn in to gold, would be people that would spend ridiculous amounts of money to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's honestly, it feels like it might be a groundbreaking idea from Jared here if we can get the right people in line.
Science, huh?
Science, man.
I think it was like $200,000. You can make your own diamond making machine. You know, they got lab grown diamonds now.
Yeah.
And they fly and everything. VVS, they all look good and everything. You can make your own $200,000. You want to invest?
I'm in.
Let's get it cracking.
That sounds like a good idea.
I know a guy.
There's too much diamonds out here. Myself.
Let's see. All right. Let's go to the NFL on Fox. The crew was pranking Gronk. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
They pranked Gronk.
Dude, so good.
Yeah, Gronk was going with it. They had him believe that there was a new Cowboys tight end named Rich Russo.
So they were talking about Tony Gonzalez. They're talking about Gronk. I don't think he's Gronk.
Gronk, where do you list Russo as, like, among the tight ends? Playing today, at least.
You know, he's been out for a little bit, so he might be a little rusty coming back. But I think they're going to give him the opportunities, that's for sure. But also, they got Ferguson as well. They're going to be a 1-2 combo.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Ferguson has been the guy because Russo's been hurt. You got to admit, with Russo coming back, it just changes their offense.
Yeah, but Ferguson has been showing that he's the guy right now. They're going to still feed Ferguson.
He's the only guy in the league that has two fingers missing on his right hand. That's why he's been out, and he's back now.
So is that going to affect him when he's catching a pass?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me, you're the guy.
I know. I still have all five of my fingers.
But you know what?
No, you're the tight end.
You have 10.
But all 10 of my fingers. All five on each hand, okay?
All right, this is a joke. Rich Russo does not play for the Dallas Cowboys.
I was wondering.
For you.
I was wondering.
Is that live? I was wondering, like, in my mind, like, I was going to say, right when it was done, I was going to say, guys, I never heard of Rich Russo.
Which you should have said.
Yeah, I got all five of my fingers.
I mean, all 10.
I kind of like how he just held to what was real, though,
yes!
And true. He didn't.
He stood on business. Yeah, he was like, yeah, but Ferguson, though.
Yeah. This Ferguson guy.
I like that. He stood on business. He went with what he knew.
Yep.
Let's go to the University of Texas. Texas. Football head coach Sark.
Oh.
Yeah, post game with Arch Manning.
I'm glad this got sent to you.
We
got to
figure out what's going on down there in Austin. Damn.
Well, Quinn's a stud, you know. I mean, just getting himself ready to go. And I think Quinn's probably helping Arch with me ripping his ass. Even though he's 26 of 31 for over 300 yards, I was still ripping his ass today. But that's what we do around here.
y'all need to calm down.
Yeah.
They're going to run down on you.
P. Diddy's posting bail right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
He's showing him that clip right now. Look, Judge. What? Y'all got me for baby oil?
I'm not alone.
They're ripping quarterbacks' asses down there.
Hell yeah, Brant. It's entrapment. Voting time? What do we say?
Yeah, let's do that.
We got Uncle Crash Out, two-time champ. We got Matt Hicks with the Sandler check-in. Holy shnikes, he said. Crew pranked Gronk. That was good. UT Sark talking Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning there and the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, they
got to
calm down, bro. They got to find another way to penalize each other.
Yeah.
We know what time it is. That was two interceptions out there, son.
They do say it's the most liberal city in Texas.
Time for some ass ripping.
My office.
Okay, I don't know. This is tough. I could get either one of them.
A couple of the locals, you know, in Austin are wishing they could play quarterback.
Sandler's my guy, though. I don't know. I'm not voting, Chief. Who do you go for?
I'm gonna go with Gronk, man. I thought that would, they executed that pretty nicely.
Yeah, he stood on it too. I'm riding with the church clip still.
I'm gonna go with Gronk prank as well.
Brian?
Jared.
Okay, I'll vote for Sark by a score of 2-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's the Fox broadcast crew with a prank of Rob Gronkowski. They thought he was dumber than what he really was,
hey. What
we figured out there. Okay, coming up next, Chief, what's in store?
Got a little best of the weekend for you, plenty of college footballs, and man, I hate to do this, but this coach needs to be fired next year in the nation.
Well, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Mike McCarthy presser scheduled for 3 o'clock, so we're 15 minutes from that. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's Best O of the Weekend.
Okay, well, this was, once again, just an amazing sports weekend across the board. We had great college football on Friday night that turned into great college football on Saturday. That was a whirlwind of an NFL football Sunday, and not to mention, talk about a Friday news dump. We find out Friday night that the New York Knicks are trading for Minnesota Timberwolf Karl Anthony Towns, or as Mad Dog Russo likes to call him,
Karl Anthony Edwards.
Which you can understand that mistake.
Yeah.
Now, I thought, I'm looking through going, okay, First of all, is Woj kicking himself right now? Did he not want to wait for this one last bomb to drop before hanging him up? It would have been a heck of a way to go out. Some people are alleging that it's now Chamber alerts instead of Woj bombs. You don't like that?
No.
Chamber alerts?
I was wondering, though, when this happened, and I was like, do we tweet out, like, Shambomb? Like, what are we calling this now? But the Chamber alert, no.
It's a little too off-putting for you?
Yeah. Now I got a daughter. More, now it's like...
More so than a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I get that. But I was surprised. And they're moving on from one of their dudes. This was supposed to be the Nova Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo. Sure, am I talking about? Now, this is where I'm like, this is going to backfire so bad on the Knicks. This is the beloved Dante DiVincenzo, who came up big time after time last season and into the postseason. Some iconic MSG moments now involve the Italian hero, Dante DiVincenzo. And he's part of the fabric that is the Nova Knicks now. All the college guys now back with the team. And you're going to rip that out? I mean, you're going to rip that type of locker room presence out, a guy who the city rallies around and absolutely loves, and you're going to put in Karl Anthony Towns, and we know what that can look like, and I don't know if mentally he's prepared. I mean, the first thing that happened after he was traded, Karl Anthony Towns just tweets out, ... And the first response is a Knicks fan saying, don't be coming to the Garden acting like a bee.
Ooh, yes.
Like, that's the tight, like, welcome to New York, Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know if he's built for something like that. I think this is a disastrous move for the Knicks. This is going to backfire in a huge way. And we'll see what, I guess the Timberwolves are just doing the thing where, hey, Gobert is about to be, he's on an expiring contract. Now Julius Randle, same thing. Let's just reshuffle the decks here. We'll build around Anthony Edwards. They just drafted Dillingham, who a lot of people were like, hey, maybe one of the steals of the draft there. So
Jackson Smith, the good Juba.
shaking things up a little bit and maybe the one step backwards for the two steps forward. I don't know, but the Knicks, I think you just bleeped yourself.
Yes, possibly. I don't know who won this trade, though. We'll see. Like, I totally get what you're saying about Karl Anthony Towns. It's just shocking that Minnesota gave up after you built a program that can knock off Denver. You know, you're in the conference finals. You're like, nope, got to blow it up. I don't know. Maybe finances became a bigger concern. They totally screwed up making the trade. I guess this is an attempt to salvage it. For New York, I feel like DiVincenzo and Randle aren't winning us a championship. Julius Randle is actually devolving in front of our very eyes as Jalen Brunson is ascending.
That's right.
So we're going to trade like our non-elite championship pieces for in the hopes of getting this guy. You know, sometimes these pairings can be perfect, and maybe it reinvigorates him. But, you know, if I'm the Knicks right now, I'm just trying to make sure that as Karl Anthony Towns comes in, we need you to be a secondary guy. You're not the superstar here that's going to stir our drink for us.
I'm in agreement with everything you said. Did you guys see the K-State guy do his five-layer burrito payoff? I know Broadus had that ready. He was getting pinged as soon as he went live with that. What'd you make of it, Broadus?
Did he actually do it?
No, he didn't.
He didn't do it on video. He did photo evidence of it. He covered his own face, so we still don't know exactly who this guy is, unless you know his bare cheeks well enough to identify him. But he was supposed to do it Saturday night, but K-State played earlier in the day. They were like an 11 a.m. kick. So all the K-State fans were like, dude, you just put the five-layer burrito curse on us the same way the FS Poo guy did. You need to get ahead of this now before kickoff. Exactly.
Yeah,
because K-State Nation, understandably so, felt like if that burrito didn't enter that guy's backside before kickoff, they're immediately going to lose until he does. So then you're going to lose another game, back-to-back L's. That's not what you want to do. So he pivoted to an AM burrito consumption. And the photos, you know, it's photo evidence. So it's hard to say exactly how far the burrito is really up there. Now, do you see the pictures?
I saw it.
And it was,
I was going to ask Carter's replacement today, Caitlin, to throw him up on the fan cam, but I decided against it. So you guys can perhaps do your own,
probably get an HR file or something like that.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess the photos say, what do you say, Wolchuk? Are you thinking this guy actually kind of put it in there?
I think he did it. Yeah. I think, well done.
The curse is lifted. Congratulations, Wildcat. Yeah, big win. Exactly.
At least he did something, unlike the FSU guy.
Yeah. Very, very disheartening.
I think I just walk away from fandom at that point.
Do Did you guys see why Tim Tebow and Aaron Hernandez were trending on Saturday night?
No.
Apparently, they have the sort of the duality of teammates here, and the internet was reminded of two great Florida Gators, Tim Tebow and Aaron Hernandez. One player for Alabama has written on his eye paint Psalms 19, 18. And the other guy has on his eye paint, it reads, kill everybody. And so, and they were standing next to each other, so it was pretty interesting to see it. Now, the guy who has to kill everybody,
the stud receiver,
is the stud 17-year-old receiver who is doing exactly that. Just, I mean, killing everybody that is in his way. This is the same 17-year-old wide receiver for Alabama whose first two plays this season as a member of the football team, it was two catches for 160-plus yards and two touchdowns. That's how he entered his Alabama tenure, and he's picking up right where he left off week in, week out. And what he did to Georgia the other night, what an unbelievable game it was. Dude. I know we'll get more into the college football stuff, I think, during the expressway, but perhaps the greatest college certainly the greatest college football quarter I've ever seen. That fourth quarter was as incredible. Electric.
I was like, I don't know if I want to be prisoner of the moment here, but like what Ryan Williams did after Carson Beck comes all the way back, and I'm writing Carson Beck off. I'm like, I've never understood why Carson Beck is thought of as a first rounder. Then he leads Georgia all the way back. And then as soon as they take the lead, boom, here's Ryan Williams, hold my beer, Alabama, right back on top. I thought it was the best regular season game maybe I've seen since Texas Ohio State back in 2005. It was incredible.
It was, dude. Those plays are absolutely ridiculous. I cannot wait to see what the future holds for this guy. I mean, Ohio State has a ridiculous freshman wide receiver as well who continues to come up big with these huge plays. But yeah, man, 17 years old, you're going to have to change the time spent away from high school. This kid could play in the NFL right now. Same with the Boise State running back. We'll get to him a little bit later. But that dude, Ashton Jeanty, he looks like he's impossible to tackle.
Yeah.
He is running through defenders 5-6 at a time.
Yeah, he is.
They're trying to gang tackle him, and he's like, sorry, I'm too good for you guys. I did feel bad for the OU player who got truck-sticked in the pregame by an Auburn cheerleader that was doing backflips across the field.
Not see this.
Now, this is one that would be fan cam worthy, but it definitely encourage you to look it up. Like, everybody, they're out on the field pregame festivities. OU players are running onto the field, and Auburn cheerleaders are backflipping across the field and just absolutely takes this guy out.
Is he in concussion protocol this morning?
I'm sure they were doing some type of pregame testing on this dude because that was a smack he took.
So it was no schooner. It's
pretty good technique,
though, right?
Too. I think that's a clean hit.
There's a part of me that felt like, is this personal? You know, like, what did she have something out for this kid? Because he got absolutely de-cleated in a way that you're used to seeing the player run into the cheerleader and she gets de-cleated. This was the reverse of that, and it was hysterical. But OU went on and had a great
dude
game.
Cheerleader, smaller dude. But it might be a dude.
This isn't an OU player? That looks like an OU cheerleader that is being kamikazed by an Auburn cheerleader? I thought it was a player. I thought it was a player that got taken out.
It is a player that gets taken out.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I think the cheerleader's a dude. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
But not a big one.
Yeah, that's could be a short timing. Why are you doing the flips like as they're entering the field?
Seriously, you pass about 15 people. You can't see them while you're flipped. Like, oh my goodness, I'm in the middle of the players. Yeah, maybe cut this short.
He's blindfolded.
Gosh.
That's what I'm saying. It felt a little bit personal. I don't know. I'll continue to kind of scratch your claw for the details on that one. And then finally, again, I hate to fire people on the radio, but Riverside High School in Bell, West Virginia, Heath Riverside. Huffman, you deserve to be gone.
Heath?
I know this is your first season as head
Archies
coach.
Went to school.
But this dude, with 55 seconds till the half, Riverside had called three timeouts, 18 seconds left now. They have the ball down in their own territory. They attempt a 97-yard field goal before halftime.
97-yard field goal?
We don't even trust Brandon Aubrey to do that. Of course, the field goal goes about 40 yards, and then it's received by the return team and scored right going into halftime for a touchdown. It's the worst coaching decision perhaps ever in all of sporting.
Wow. You're
a 97-yard high school field goal. That's what you're doing here.
Analytics, man.
And this is year one, and this guy's learning on the fly. But, my gosh, I think you need to punt on on Heath Huffman.
Was he not aware of the rule? You could run that in.
Wait,
what a minute. They're running?
Wouldn't be the first rule that people aren't aware
no,
of.
No, we didn't punt. What are we doing?
The Eagles player, yeah. The Eagles player with the brain fart of the week, shoving the Buccaneer player into his own punt returner to force the muff, thinking that, oh, it'll be a flag on the Buccaneers. But, of course, it's not because he intentionally threw the Buccaneer player into his own punt returner.
So, he said he's been doing this since he was a Colt. Like, this is normal for him. He didn't know that there was a rule against that.
Okay.
What an idiot.
Got to be a little bit more subtle, I suppose. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir. Austin, you looking at this this Mets game at all?
Yeah, it's now 8-7 in the top of the ninth.
The Mets scored six. The Braves came back with four in the eighth to take the win, the lead. And then Lindor has just hit a two-run homer now in the top of the ninth to make the Mets up 8-7.
One out.
All right, God, this thing, it's the last three innings have been crazy in this baseball game.
So, top of the ninth here, the Mets are at bat with one out, and they get two more. We'll go to the bottom of the ninth and probably be telling you about that exciting conclusion sometime after the Mike McCarthy press conference, which is next right here on The Fan.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.